Heartwood by Robbie McNiven. Read by John Banks. The realm of life had become a place of death. Blood and bark, iron and earth, that laid shook with the fury of battle. At its centre, a war band of rotbringers had turned at bay, their tight cohorts of rusting plate armour and sagging, rotten flesh split apart by nature's wrath. Nellas the Harvester, branch witch of House Iliath, swung her greenwood scythe in a hissing upward arc, parrying the Blight King's stroke. The hulking Rotbringer leant in to the blow, trying to use his bulk to force Nellas's guard down. The Sylvaneth was dwarfed by the warrior, but she stood her ground, willowy limbs invested with the strength of the wildwood's deepest roots. Bark creaked, and the scythe shuddered in her grip as she held the Blight King in place, while from the trees all around the Sylvaneth poured. The whole forest keened with the battle song of the Wargrove. The encroachment of the great corruptor's minions into Brosselan would not be tolerated. The bitter grub that coiled among Nellis's branches saw its opening. It darted forward and locked its mandibles around the upper thigh of the Rotbringer, slicing through corroded plate and neatly snipping a hamstring. The Blight King grunted and went down on one knee. The bitter grub held on. Nellis leant back to give herself room and plied her scythe in a great arc. There was a crunch, and the warrior's cyclopean helmet thumped to the ground, a jet of pus-like ichor pattering across the glade's trampled grass. Nellis was pushing past the decapitated corpse before it had even slumped, her bitter grub wrapping around her once more. The Rotbringer champion was ahead, bellowing vile curses as he swung a great rusting mace at Thark. The Tree Lord Ancient's own household revenants were struggling to reach him, locked in a grinding melee with the Chaos Lord's bodyguard. Nellis shrieked with fury as she saw the Rotbringer's blow thump home into Thark's thigh, splintering wood and splattering thick amber bloodsap. The head of House Iliath tore into the champion's flesh in response, his great talons splitting armour and spilling rancid guts, but to no avail. The Rotbringer's wounds regenerated as soon as they were made, the obese armoured body bound together by more than mere mortal willpower. The Rotbringer heard Nellis's cry and turned in time to swat aside her first blow, moving with a speed that belied his diseased bulk. Nellis darted back to avoid the warrior's backswing, the forest air thrumming with the force of the mace's passing. Thark lunged at the champion's exposed back, dragging fresh gashes down his spine, but he simply shrugged off the wound and stepped in closer to Nellis. She attempted a shortened slash with her scythe, but this time it merely clanged off corroded battleplate. For all her strength, the branch witch didn't possess Thark's oaken might. And now she had overextended. The Rotbringer was too close to strike at her properly, but the thrust of his mace was still deadly. The blow smashed into Nellis's side, and pain fired through the branch witch. She went down, roots questing for purchase in the glade's bloody earth. Her bitter grub lashed out at the plague champion, more snapping at the wounds already dealt by Thark, but the Rotbringer simply snatched its writhing, segmented body in one iron gauntlet. With a bile-choked laugh, he crushed the spite, popping it with a hideous crunch. Nellis tried to rise, shuddering at the departing soul-shriek of the grub. Her bark was splintered, blood-sap running down her side. The Rotbringer turned to Thark, another stroke of his mace splitting a great gash down the Tree Lord Ancient's trunk. Nellis could feel her lord's life force draining as he swayed back from the blow.
"Your wildwood is mine, tree spirit,"
the Rotbringer said, the voice rasping as though from two separate phlegm-choked throats.
"Scythe this rot claims this kingdom for the grandfather."
Thark was able to ward away another huge blow with his upper branches, but he teetered as the Rotbringer kept swinging, snapping limbs and scattering leaves. Around him, the tree revenants of Thark's guard were battling furiously to reach him, but the phalanx of Blight Kings protecting their own champion was still unmovable. Only Nellis had broken through. The branch witch rose silently. The whole glade shuddered as Thark went down on his knees, a creaking groan seeming to run through the surrounding forest spirits as they felt his agony. Nellis hissed at their song of pain and loss.
Surrender your pathetic kingdom to Grandfather's mercy.
Scathis Rot spat, standing over Thark's splintered form.
Share in his magnificent blessings, and embrace the majesty of abundant decay.
The Chaos Champion smashed another blow against Thark's torso, breaking the iron-hard bark and exposing the soft heartwood. Chuckling grotesquely, the Rotbringer leant forward, one gauntlet probing at the sap-soaked wound. Whatever it was doing, the distraction was enough. Nellas swung at the Plague Champion's exposed back. There was a crunch as the greenwood scythe parted Scathis Rot's skull. Grey brain matter, thick with maggots, splattered the Branch Witch. She shrieked with furious triumph. The champion's corpse fell heavily, the ground sizzling where vile ichor pulsed from its split skull. Nellas went on her knees before Thark, running slender fingers over the great rent splitting her master's trunk.
"It is no use,"
the head of the clan said slowly, voice creaking like a great oak bending in a tempest.
"He cut to my heartwood."
"You must rest, Lord," Nellas responded, willing the broken bark to re-knit beneath her fingers.
It could not be too grievous a wound. House Iliath could not lose Thark.
"Take my life-seed, Branch Witch,"
the Tree Lord said, gently brushing aside Nellas's touch.
"Plant it in the evergreen with the others who have fallen here. Give Broselan new life, and we will resist these invaders for an eternity. Gairan endures."
Around them, the Tree Revenants had finally broken through the remaining Blight Kings, butchering them with blade and talon. Nellas was oblivious to it all, looking up into the eye knots of her lord. The green battle fury which had burned there was dimming. The song of the wildwood shifted fractionally, a new melody struck by the dying tree lord. The sound pricked at Nellas's memory.
"The song of ever dusk's waxing," she said.
"It always was my favorite,"
Thark murmured, swaying slightly. Nellas could only nod. Around them, the last sounds of slaughter faded, and the survivors of House Iliath gathered, with bowed branches, to hear the final spirit song of their lord and master. After death, the harvest. The glade had once been a tranquil place, an enclave of lush green grass dappled by the shade of overhanging ash and yew boughs. Now it was a circle of hell, the grass trampled into churned mud, the spiked, armoured forms of butchered Rotbringers intermingling with the smashed kindlewood corpses of felled Sylvaneth, dark blood and amber sap mixing in the furrowed muck. Nellas passed over it in silence, using her scythe as a crutch. The wound in her side still throbbed. It would heal in time, when she had an opportunity to rest in the evergreen and channeled the forest's healing song. Until then, she pressed on. She had a duty to perform. One by one, she harvested the life seeds of her fallen kin. As a branch witch, it was her most vital task, a part of the ever-turning cycles of the wildwood. From the day she had sprouted from her soul pod many seasons ago, Nellas had served House Iliath as one of its harvesters, plying her scythe and carrying each and every life-seed fallen, in peace or in war, back to Broselan's heartglade, the Evergreen. Amidst a reaping of death, she was a sower of life, of tender branches and new shoots. As she went, Nellas hummed a new song. She sensed other little voices joining in one by one, answering her lilting call. She spoke to them as allies and as friends, not with orders, as she would have her fellow Sylvaneth clansfolk. And one by one, they answered her. They came buzzing, fluttering, or leaping from the surrounding wildwood, dozens of tiny forest spirits that gathered around her, their bodies glittering with fey light. They had come to show their respect to the ones who guarded their homes. They had come to bear away the fallen. Every time Nellas plucked a life seed from the dead wood before her, one of the spites flitting around her would retrieve it, ready to carry it with the branch witch to its resting place in the evergreen.
The creatures did so in silence, their playful jostling and bickering suppressed for the moment by the gravity of their task. Near the far edge of the clearing, Nelas paused, her flock of spites going still around her. She had been one of three. Her sisters, Lane and Silana, had completed Iliath's triumvirate of branch witches. Between them, the trio had reaped the echo harvest of the Lamentiri, the Sylvaneth spirit songs, and ensured the continuing existence of the wildwood of Brosselan, since Thark had been a sapling. But no more. Nelas found Lane and Silana side by side, bark broken and lifeless, their bitter grubs crushed alongside them. She had sensed them fall during the fight, had heard their battle song cut short, but in the fury and desperation of the glade's killing, she hadn't had time to mourn. Now, as a pair of little spites reverently received their life seeds, Nelas felt the ache of their felling keener than the wound still burning in her side. It had been a grim day for Brosselan. By the time Nelas had passed over the whole glade, the sun was sinking below the treetops, and the air was thick with attendant spites. The urge to dig her roots in and rest was almost overwhelming, but she resisted. She was now the only one capable of seeing so many life seeds replanted. As the forest folk set about piling the Rotbringer corpses for burning, she made her way to the evergreen. It was a long walk through hidden vales and along the high paths of Brosselan's wooded uplands. Few outside the noble houses travelled such routes, fewer still at so late an hour. As she went, her way lit by the light of her buzzing companions, Nelas felt the ancient forest sigh and creak in sympathy around her. The whole of Brosselan had suffered, the loss of so many venerable Sylvaneth sending an undertone of pain through the wildwood spirit song. Nelas could still feel the shared agony in every rustle and moan of the forest around her. By the time she arrived at the outskirts of the evergreen, darkness had fallen. The woodland was restless, still distressed by the violation it had suffered. Things darted past Nelas, their shapes insubstantial in the dark. She felt the beat of wings as a woodland owl soared overhead, hunting. The killing, Nelas reflected, was never done. Around her, she felt the ever-present song of the wildwood waver, as though the chorus had become suddenly doubtful. A colder, more cutting note entered the recital.
"Stop!"
The command seemed to breathe from the trees themselves. Nelas halted, grip tightening around her scythe's haft. There were few creatures capable of taking a Sylvaneth by surprise in her own woods. None of them meant her well. Shapes melted from the shadows beneath the surrounding boughs, taking physical form seemingly only with great reluctance. They were Sylvaneth, but they possessed none of the graceful bearing of the noble spirits Nelas was used to communing with. Their outlines were jagged and sharp, their trunks stooped, features twisted with fang-filled disdain. They blocked the path ahead, pressing in on the branch witch from all sides. The song of the woodland grew colder still around them. Spite, revenants, she thought. Outcasts, nature's most merciless aspect given form and thought.
"You go no further,"
one of the malevolent spirits said. He was big, bristling with jagged fir needles, his eyes glowing a bitter, icy blue in the creaking darkness.
"You are not welcome here."
Nelas faced the outcast, straightening despite the pain that flared from her wound. "The shadows are deep, so I will forgive you your mistake. I am Nelas the Harvester of House Iliath of the Heartwood Glade. I am bearing the life seeds of many of my house, too many. In the name of the Everqueen, stand aside."
"We know who you are, Branch Witch,"
the spite revenant said, showing no sign of moving.
"And I am Dugarth of the Lone Root. Your presence defiles the sanctity of this enclave. These woodlands do not want you here. Their roots squirm at your passing."
"Are you delirious with bark rot?" Nelas snapped. "These little spites with me carry the very future of this wildwood. You have no right to impede us."
"You carry corruption. We can feel the taint that infects you. We cannot allow you to spread it to the evergreen. Whether you are aware of it or not, you could bring about the destruction of the Heartglade and the death of the whole forest.
Nellis shook her head angrily, leaves rustling.
You refer to my wound. It was earned today in battle with those who would defile these sacred glades. I did not see you or your kindred there when Lord Thark was felled.
That does not mean we weren't present,
Dugath countered, taking a step closer to Nellas. He stretched out one jagged talon, moving to touch her splintered side. The branch witch darted back instinctively, hissing as the sudden movement sent a pulse of pain through her body. She felt her anger flare.
It won't heal, Dugath said. It is infected with the rot of the great corruptor. If you enter the evergreen, you may pass the taint on to the saplings there.
If I don't enter, the Lamentiri will wither and be lost, Nellas countered. Make way for me, outcast, unless you wish to see this wildwood brought to ruin.
You know not what you carry, the spite revenant said, but I cannot bar a branch witch from her own glade. Tread with care, Nellas the Harvester. We will be watching you.
The spite revenants receded back into the darkness, their bitterness lingering on the night air. Nellas continued up the path until the final branches parted before her. The evergreen, Brosselin's heart, lay ahead. A clearing at the peak of the Wildwood's uplands. At its center stood the great King's Tree, the oldest oak in the forest. It was here that the lords of Brosselin's noble families gathered in council and mustered the Wargrove in times of conflict. It was also the focal point of the forest's combined memory echoes, the well that collected the reverberations of House Iliath's many life songs. Some, like the melodies of the King's Tree itself, were as old as the Jade Kingdom's deepest roots, while those soul-pod groves newly planted in the shade of the great oak had only just begun to add their own cadence to the forest's choir. Through them, Gairan endured. At night, the clearing space was lit by the flickering of 1,000 fireflies, and the colourful flashes that marked the passage of lesser spites weaving darts of light among the shadows of soul-pod saplings and thick wildflowers. Nellas began to murmur her greetings to the many forest spirits as she stepped into the clearing, brushing gently past fresh shoots and leaves. As she did so, more spites fluttered to her, perching in her branches, their tiny songs full of concern.
"Do not worry yourselves, little lights," the branch witch murmured gently to them. "I will heal. Many others this day will not."
As the spites that came to greet Nellas wove among those already carrying the life seeds, their songs melded into a mournful chorus. It was a tale of passing and of withering, of falling leaves and dry, dead wood. Nellas let it play out around her as she began the replanting. Each of the life seeds had its place, a soul pod in the evergreen. Those who had been forest folk, the dryads and the branch wraiths, were planted among those that formed a great grove arcing around the clearing's edge, nearest to the trees which grew thick all around. The tree revenants and the other members of the noble houses were planted among the pods closer to the clearing's heart, ranked by their dedication to each of the wildwood's ever-changing seasons. Then, nearest of all to Brosselin's heartwood, in the shade of the mighty King's Tree itself, the tree lords were laid to their final rest, the lamentiri of all planted in the fertile soil around them, their echo memories allowed to rejoin the great chorus of the wildwood. Not even the Everqueen knew what form, great or small, any of the life seeds would take when they sprouted once more from their soul pods. But, regardless, all would serve the natural cycles. Nellas planted Thark last of all, among the very roots of the King's Tree. The flourishing soul pods round about the old oak would take both strength and wisdom from its presence, and from the same soil new life would one day join the ranks of the Sylvaneth. As she nestled Thark's seed in the knotted core of the shining soul pod, Nellas swayed. Her exhaustion was coming close to overwhelming her. The harsh words of the spite revenant returned unbidden, disrupting the mourning of the spites and the gentle song she sang to the fresh seedlings. Corruption. Taint. She was infected, Her wound still throbbed, and every step brought with it a deep, aching pain. The growth song of the evergreen called to her, promising the chance to rest and heal, but she pushed it gently from her mind. She had one more duty still to perform. Sensing her distress, the spites around her fluttered and darted to and fro. Thark's seed safely buried, she took one of the lesser tracks out of the clearing, leaving the evergreen's hum of renewal behind her. The darting lights of the spites lit her way, guiding her faithfully down a steep, twisting path tangled with briars and thorns. As she went, the number of spites multiplied, until the whole wildwood seemed to be illuminated with buzzing, kaleidoscopic colour, the flying forest spirits dancing and spinning around, over and under one another, with glittering, preternatural grace. She paused at the edge of the path, beneath the boughs of a soaring beech tree. Its branches were laden with small sacks, around which the creatures dashed and darted. They were cocoons, each one bearing within it the germinations of a new forest spirit. Nellis reached out and delicately brushed one of the larger sacks, its skin black and mottled with orange blotches. It was ripe, close to hatching. As she came into contact with it, she prayed to the spirits of Gairan that she would have a new bitter grub to accompany her. Her song throbbed through the cocoon, binding the small creature's first memories to her own, imprinting on it the work of the harvester. The loss of Nellis's former grub and the lack of the soothing, simple counterpoint of its little spirit song tugged at the branch witch's subconscious. Just one more pain for the day's tally, both mental and physical. She no longer had the strength to return to the evergreen. Instead, she walked a little way into the forest and planted her roots, letting her mind join the wider thoughts of the wildwood. As her consciousness fragmented, her last memory was of Thark and his final moments. In the surrounding darkness, the outcasts watched her, silent, waiting. Realization struck her. It was time. She pulled her scattered thoughts together, easing the forest's drowsy nighttime murmur to the edge of her thoughts. It was right that she witnessed this. The first song it should hear ought to be her own. She returned to the beach, scythe in hand. The spites had gathered, adorning the boughs of the tree with shining, bickering brilliance. They crooned and fluttered as she appeared, excited at what was about to take place. The blackened orange cocoon stirred beneath its branch. She reached out a hand and touched it, twigs splayed. Through the fragile membrane, she could feel warmth and the squirming pulse of fresh life. Yes, she thought, it was time. She withdrew her hand as a split appeared in the sack, oozing a thick, clear substance. The watching spites chittered all the louder, pushing and shoving one another as they tried to get a better view. The hatching of a new bitter grub was an uncommon occurrence. She prayed to the Everqueen that her new companion recognized her. There was a pop, and the cocoon burst. A flood of green-grey slime poured from the ruptured sack, splattering the beech's roots. With it came a thin, segmented form, gripping onto the branch it had hatched from with vicious pincers. A vile stink filled the cool forest air. She knew immediately this was no bitter grub. It only bore a single segmented black eye, and hissing acidic toxins dripped from its wicked mandibles. Its body was worm-like, and its flesh translucent, exposing inner organs that were riddled with pulsing yellow veins and swollen by globules of raw filth. As the plague worm uncoiled, the attending spites shrieked with terror, scattering in a great roiling cloud. She found herself rooted to the spot, frozen in a moment of horror as she understood that the rot had reached the very heart of the forest. The outcasts had been right. The monstrosity that had hatched from the wildwood cocoon hissed at her and lunged, its slime-coated pincers snapping.
Nellis!
Her thoughts returned like a springs-fed flood. She gasped and twitched, the first sensation that of the pain in her side, her second the realization that at some time during the night she'd fallen, and now lay among the tangled thorns and bracken near the beech tree. The bitter grub, a nightmare or a vision, she couldn't tell, but the memory of the vile creature that had hatched so close to the forest's heartblade made her branches shudder. She tried to rise. The pain of her wound was worse than it had been the night before. Not only had the splintered bark refused to heal, but now dark veins crisscrossed the injury, spreading like an ugly latticework along the bottom half of her trunk. The accusations of the spite revenant came back to her. She was infected. She was spreading the Rotbringer's plague to Brosselan. The nightmare made her shudder again. Then she remembered what had woken her. The voice of Thoken of the Blackroot, snapping and splintering with a rare urgency. She dragged herself up by her scythe, body trembling. Light was filtering through the forest canopy. It was well after dawn, she realized. The wildwood was quiet and still, as though the forest spirits around her were straining to overhear something momentous.
"My lord," Nellas thought, letting the shoots of her mind quest out through the woodland and join the wider spirit song.
There, at its heart, she found him, along with the other tree lords. They were gathered at the king's tree. That could only mean an impromptu council had been called.
"Where are you, Nellas?"
The tree lord ancient's creaking tone filled her thoughts.
"We have summoned the noble house to a moot. Grave news has reached us from beyond the tree line."
"I'm on my way, lord," Nellas responded.
She took a step and found she was able to stay upright. Leaning heavily on her scythe, she began to make her way back towards the evergreen. On the way, she glanced at the beech tree, still surrounded by darting spites. The bitter grub cocoon hung among the others, whole and unblemished. Had it merely been a nightmare, a discordant tremor in the forest's evening song, or a vision of something yet to transpire? She pressed on. In the evergreen, the noble household of Iliath had assembled. A host of tree revenants ringed the edge of the clearing, their attention fixed on the king's tree at its center. Beside its great trunk, the lords and ladies of the woodland clan stood in a close circle, swaying gently with the rhythms of their discussion. There were the tree lords, Bitterbow and Thenuil, the two law masters, ancients Gilahad and Whitebark, and Thoken himself. The absence of Bowmaster Thark leading the debate sent a stab of sorrow through Nellis's heartwood. The murmured contemplation of the watching tree revenants stilled as she arrived. They parted wordlessly for her. She could feel their eyes on her injury. The sudden hush caused the tree lord conclave to cease their own discussion and turn to watch her slow approach. She felt her anger spike under the scrutiny.
"You need not bow, Nellis," Thoken said as she drew closer. "I did not know you were wounded."
"It will heal with time, my lord,"
Nellis said, letting her roots sink in a little as she stopped before the gathered moot.
"The whole wildwood aches for the loss of your sisters, Branch Witch,"
Thenuil said. He was a redwood by nature, his rust-colored bark giving him a warlike appearance as he loomed over his fellow tree lords.
"And for the head of the clan, the venerable Thark,"
Gilahad added, the aging willow bent almost double.
"The goodness of his spirit and the wisdom of his leadership will not soon be forgotten. May his lamentiri enrich many a Sylvaneth as yet unplanted. Such a loss makes your well-being all the more important, Nellis,"
Thoken added. He was old, even by the standards of the ancients. A slender pine, his highest needles matched the canopy of Thenuil, while his grey bark was knotted and craggy with age. He swayed gently as he talked, each word as inexorable and measured as the passage of years.
"Until the soul pods sprout fresh branch witches, you alone can safely harvest the life seeds and tend to the evergreen. And until we have elected a new head of the clan, Brosselan needs you now more than ever. We already miss Thark's guidance."
Doubt made Nellas hesitate. Should she admit her fears? Should she tell the conclave that she believed Scarthis Rot's blow to her side had brought on some form of infection? That the outcasts had accused her of corruption?
"Spite messengers have brought us grievous news," Thoken said, before Nellis could order her thoughts. from both Ithilia and Merthorn. Our sister woods have been overrun by the worshippers of Blight."
His words chased all thoughts of self-doubt from Nellis's mind, and she felt a keening at the thought of such desecration flare in her breast.
"Surely not," she heard herself say.
"It has been confirmed by those forest folk that escaped the felling," Gilahad creaked, "and we ourselves feel the spirit song ache of many great lords cut down and wise ancients forever uprooted. Tragedy has finally caught up with our corner of Gairan."
"How is this possible?"
Nellas demanded, turning from one tree lord to the next.
"That Lammers have kept Ithilia and Merthorn safe ever since the great corruptor set foot in the Jade Kingdoms. How have the Rotbringers been able to overcome them?"
"How did that warband pierce our own tree line?" Gilahad replied.
"Bands of Rotbringers stumble across us from time to time," Nellas said, voice snapping angrily like broken branches. "There were no survivors to tell of what this squirm scum uncovered. There never are."
"I agree," said Whitebark.
The ancient loremaster was the least vocal of the conclave, so old that he seemed in a perpetual doze, his spirit song drifting and languid. A knotted silver birch, he leant heavily on one drooping branch like a crutch.
"The chances of not one but two great wildwoods falling to the random roving of a warband large enough to overcome their enchantments are almost non-existent. We must assume their glamours failed them."
"Or that some rot beset them from within," thought Nellas. The realization hardened her resolve.
"We must discover the state of our sister woods," she said, "and find how the Rotbringer filth were able to locate them. I propose to the Moot that I be allowed to spirit walk to Merthorn for this purpose."
"Out of the question," Thoken replied. "I have already told you of the vital place you now hold in Brosselan, Nellas. If we lose you, the very future of this wildwood would be threatened."
"If we do not discover how the sister woods fell, we will be next," Nellas said.
Her anger drove out any thought of admitting her private fears, of agonizing over what even now gnawed at her bark.
"Spides are being dispatched," Thoken said, "and the Wargrove assembled once again. We shall begin a muster as soon as our household has rested its roots."
"That will take time. A spirit walk will be faster and safer."
"Not if the wildwoods have indeed become as corrupt as we fear."
Nellas didn't respond immediately. As far as preserving Brosselan was concerned, Thoken was right, and the whole woodland knew that, once he dug his roots in, the fury of all the gods, great and small, would not move him. But if Nellis's fears were correct, they didn't have time to assess the threat from afar. She bowed, ignoring the discomfort the motion brought her.
"As you wish, venerable lord."
She could feel the scrutiny of the conclave as she spoke, prickling with suspicions. Most of them, she suspected, perceived her intentions. She kept her eyes on the evergreens' nearest soul-pod saplings, praying by bough and branch that they didn't demand assurances of her. She could not disrupt the natural cycle by refusing a direct order from the conclave, but nor would she wait passively for events to play out around her. The fury smouldering inside her demanded her sisterwoods be avenged. Eventually, Thoken spoke.
"The Moot will continue to ponder these dark events. You are clearly in need of rest, Nellas. You are dismissed for now. May the Everqueen's blessings be upon you."
"My thanks, lord,"
the branch witch replied, turning her back on the conclave. She would have to be swift. Nellas slid gently into the clear depths of the woodland spring, slender bark limbs immersed in its cool flow. The waters embraced her, whispering a song of renewal as they slid over the thick tangle of thorns and vines that sprouted from her scalp. Her green eyes opened beneath the surface, following the redfins and minnow spawn as they darted back and forth through the clear depths. The water was brimming with life, just like the soil it fed. She could not allow a place such as this to fall to corruption. Gairan endured. Closing her eyes once more, she let the stream's song fulfill her. The healing waters had reduced the agony of her wound to a numb throb. She could spend an eternity in here, watched over by the spirits of the spring, sustained by their soothing embrace. But in her mind's eye, she saw the waters congeal, the clear flow discolored by filth. To stay would be to surrender Broceland to damnation, a truth she had known even as she had paid lip service to Thoken's commands. Her bark would not leave the Wildwood's treeline, but her spirit would. She hummed to herself, communing with the spring's song, letting its melodies entwine with hers. As she did, she felt the flow around her tug, teasing at her branches. Though her roots remained sunken into the slick stones at the spring's bottom, her mind started to drift. There were many ways for the spirit song of a Sylvaneth to travel between the Wildwoods of Gairan, and the sacred waterways were one of them. The stream was one of several that flowed from Broceland to her neighboring woodlands, one of the realm routes blessed by the Everqueen to bring her life-giving energies to this part of the Jade Kingdoms. As Nelissa's spirit song left her physical form, the water's flow snatched at her and carried her along. She bound herself to the form of a passing bluescale, the big fish darting over rocks and between lazy fronds and water moss, following the current as it carried her beyond Broceland's borders. The sense of detachment was exhilarating. The pain of Nelissa's wound had become a distant ache, left far behind. The natural rhythms of the stream flooded her thoughts, the instinctive concerns and needs of its wildlife merging with her own desires. It was only with difficulty that she slid free from the bluescale, forging through the current towards the bank. She emerged without disturbing the water's surface, her spirit form invisible to mortal eyes. It was immediately apparent that she was in Broceland no more. Around her, trees stretched, but these were not the healthy boughs and branches Nellis had passed through when she had last visited Myrthorn, many seasons ago. The forest was skeletal, leafless, the trunks bare and gnarled, each tree seemingly struggling to stand beneath the weight of its own dead wood. Their song cut to the branch witch's heartwood. It had none of Broceland's spirited cadence, none of the vibrant pitch and swell that coursed through the Jade Kingdoms, still resisting the Great Corrupter. Instead, it was a low, weary moan, the creak and sigh of a tree that had long given up the hope of ever sprouting fresh shoots again. Nor were there any spites. The lack of the little darting lights and the elegant counterpoint of their songs was like a void in the branch witch's core. A forest without spites was a forest that had lost the essence of its being. Nelas eased her own song into that of Merthorn's, her light, quicker tempo seeking to stoke the wildwood's sentience.
"Who has done this to you?"
The tired answer drew her on along the bank of the stream, deeper into the wildwood. As she went, she noticed the waters beside her were also changing. The stream no longer possessed the crystalline clarity it had in Broceland, but instead grew steadily murkier. Soon it was brown and discolored. It began to congeal around the edges, the banks thick with green scum. Eventually, it took on the appearance of tar, oozing and black, a pestilential stink coming off its bubbling surface. The woodland, too, grew worse with every ethereal step Nelas took. The trees were no longer bent over and gaunt like bare old beggars. Now they were clothed, but in all manner of vileness. In her time tending to the evergreen, the branch which had uprooted and carved out many diseases and blights before they could take hold among root and bark. Ever since the distant days of the Great Corruptor's arrival in Gairan, constant vigilance had been needed to ensure his plagues didn't achieve what his rot-bringers could not. Here, those plagues had run rampant. As she passed through the fallen wildwood, she saw every blight she had ever encountered in evidence around her. Spine mold covered entire trees, turning them into bristling, puffy growths. Sap, with the consistency of pus, poured from the hideous gouges bored by weeping rot, while all manner of monstrous worms and maggots had burrowed out nests among bark and branches. Leaves were black and slippery with slime stench and demon spit, while the forest floor beneath was rapidly becoming a rotting, shifting mulch. Instead of mischievous spites and darting forest spirits, great swarms of black flies now droned, filling the air with their buzzing, ugly insistence. Nelas stopped trying to commune with the wildwood. Its song was no longer weak and breathless. It was no longer the voice of something dying a slow, inevitable death. It had become a drone, unhealthy but strong, a sonorous chant that she wanted no part in. The forest here, she realized, was no longer dying. It was alive, but it was not the life granted by the changing of the seasons or the Ever Queen's grace. It was unwholesome and twisted, a vile parody. It was the fresh life of maggots bursting from a boil, of a virus coiling in a bloodstream, of flies hatching from rancid meat. It was a mockery of everything green and vibrant, of everything Nelas had spent her entire existence nurturing and protecting. The realization sent righteous anger coursing through her. She began to seek out the Ever Queen's distant song, holding on to it like a beacon amidst the encroaching darkness. Even though she was invisible, the sensation of being observed made her thorns prickle. The forest was aware of her. She knotted her glamour about herself with whispered words, clutching her scythe close. Even her spirit self felt as though it was swarming with lice and maggots, and each step became more difficult, more repulsive than the last. Before her, a clearing emerged. She realized as soon as she gazed beyond the final dripping, cancerous boughs that her worst fears were true. The heart of Myrthorn and the heart of the corruption were one and the same. Like all wildwoods, Myrthorn had also once had an enclave at its heart, a grove where the energies of life swirled and eddied the strongest, where the soul pods thrived and the spirit song reached its crescendo. Such places could take many forms, and Brosselan's mighty king's tree was only one expression of a heart glade. Myrthorn's had once been a menhir, a great jagged pillar of primordial stone, standing tall upon a grassy knoll, thick with moss and carved with the swirling heraldry of the enclave's Sylvaneth clan. That menhir still stood, but it was split and deformed almost beyond recognition. Something had burrowed out its core, and now the space within was no longer a part of the realm of life. A sickly yellow light pulsed from its heart, and whenever Nelas tried to look directly at the rent in reality, her gaze instinctively flinched away, her spirit shuddering with revulsion. From the open rift, demons came, clawing their way into the wildwood. They already infested the heartblade around the menhir, a sea of sagging, diseased flesh and corroded iron. Clusters of plague-bearers circled the space with an endless limping gait, the tolling of their rusting bells a counterpoint to their throaty chanting. Great flies, bigger than Nelas and dripping with thick strings of venom, droned overhead. Underfoot, a living carpet of nurglings writhed, bickering and giggling like a nightmarish parody of the spites that had once inhabited Myrthorn. The entire clearing was alive and bursting with a vital virulence of entropy and decay. The wildwood's heart was still beating, Nelas realized. It was choked and rancid with rot, a rot that had first taken root not at its borders, but at its very core. The horror of realization momentarily eclipsed all of Nelas's other concerns. Her glamour shimmered, and she heard the chanting of the demons skip a beat. The dirge of the trees around her rose in pitch. Her spirit self tensed. She sensed a thousand roomy cyclopean eyes turned towards her.
Branch witch!
The words, squelching like maggots writhing in rotten bark, slipped directly into Nelas's thoughts.
Scarthis said you would come. He wants us to tell you it is too late. He wants us to thank you, Branch Witch. He wants to bless the rot that already works through your bark for welcoming him into your home. Grandfather's glory be upon you and upon his talibans.
She had been right. Myrthorn was lost. Shaking, she fled. Nelas returned to her body with a scream of pain and rage. For a second, she didn't remember where she was, her branches thrashing through the water as she surfaced. But the agony in her side, worse than ever before, stung her thoughts into order. She had been right. She had brought corruption into Brosselan, but it hadn't been in her. It had been in what she had carried. Scythe in hand, she made for the evergreen, keening a song of fear and warning for the forest spirits to spread around her. She had to rouse the wildwood before it was too late.
"She took the realm root to Merthorn," said Brack.
Dugarth dipped his branches in acknowledgement, fangs bared as he watched the branch witch race towards the evergreen. To the Spike Revenant's attuned senses, the wound in her side reeked of corruption. Her visit to the fallen wildwood and her sudden madness were the final confirmation.
"She must die,"
he said to his surrounding kin,
"before she can spread her foulness any further. Follow me."
As she neared the evergreen, Nellis's spirit song quested ahead. Even now, a sliver of defiance within her held out the hope that she was wrong. Maybe it had simply been her wound the demons had referred to. Maybe, with time, the rot could be excised, and she could be made whole again. Maybe Brosselan was untouched.
"Fuck!"
She pushed her song ahead into the clearing, seeking out the individual voices that flowed from the evergreen. She should be able to commune with them. She should be able to know for certain that her fears were misplaced.
"Nellis!"
The voice that answered her did not belong to any Sylvaneth. It didn't run in harmony with the melodies of the forest, but cut across it, a discordant baritone rich with rot.
"Thank you, Nellis. Thank you for bringing me here."
She had heard the voice before. It belonged to Scarthis Rot, not the mortal Rotbringer champion she had cut down, but the demon that had inhabited his flesh. The demon which had been transferred by hand to Thark's Heartwood, even as Nellis had split the champion's skull. The demon her spites had carried into the Tree Lord's infected life seed, right into the center of Brosselan.
"I will destroy you, monster!"
Nellis keened, her fury eclipsing even the pain of her wound as she threw herself through the last of the undergrowth and into the evergreen. Around her, the trees were no longer singing. They were screaming. Nellis had planted Thark's Lamentiri in a soul pod right beside the King's Tree, nestled among its very roots. In doing so, she now realized she had carried the life seed tainted by Scarthis Rot right into her home's heart glade. The evergreen was under attack. What had once been Thark's budding soul pod was now a sinkhole, a black pit from which the filth of chaos welled and poured. Plaguebearers were already limping and staggering through the evergreen, chanting and muttering darkly to themselves as they hacked at the groves surrounding the King's Tree with rusty blades. The nurglings that accompanied them gnawed on roots or gleefully ripped down saplings, destroying future Sylvaneth generations before they had even had a chance to bud. Around the clearing, great swarms of fat flies buzzed, breeding and hatching in a frenzy of infestation. Worst of all was the thing at the evergreen center. Scarthis had taken on physical form, a tall, emaciated, one-eyed demon who now sat languidly above the sinkhole, reclining amongst the roots of the King's Tree as though they were his throne. Maggots, longer than Nellis's forebranches, squirmed and writhed across the great oak's bark, seeking to burrow in and defile its core. As the branch witch laid eyes on him, Scarthis spread both skeletal arms, his long face split by a warm grin.
"Welcome home, Nellis,"
the demon boomed, his voice unnaturally deep and vibrant for such a wasted frame.
"Good Bowmaster Thark told me all about you before I consumed the last of him. How joyous it is to finally meet you."
Shrieking, Nellis flung herself at the nearest plaguebearer. It was attempting to uproot a briarthorn soul pod with both hands, seemingly numb to the gashes the plant was leaving in its diseased skin. It was too slow to avoid Nellis as she sliced its head from its shoulders. Its demonic form exploded into a great cloud of flies. Nellis surged on. Even the pain of her wound momentarily burned away by the rage that blazed through her bark. She disemboweled a second plaguebearer, then a third, Scarthis's merry laughter ringing around her all the while.
"Curse you, maggotkin!" she screamed, a single swing of her scythe eviscerating a clutch of squirming nurglings. "Die!"
"Not before you, Nellas," Scarthis chuckled, pointing one long bony finger at her. "Not before you!"
Around the branch witch, the Taliband closed.
"Dryker's curse," Dugarth spat as he looked down into the evergreen. "We're too late." "It was the life seed," Brack said, "not the branch witch. The disease was in what she planted, not her wound." "We must help her," another of the spite revenants added. "If we wait for the Wargrove to muster, the Heartglade will already have fallen."
Dugarth was moving. He burst from the tree line into the evergreen like an icy gale, fangs bared and talons out. Keening their own Cold War song, the outcasts followed. Nellas plied her scythe, the harvester come home. One monstrosity after another fell, their corroded blades no match for her greenwood, their demonic bodies disintegrating with every strike. But still they came, on and on, as inevitable as time's decaying grip, and Scarthis laughed all the harder. Nellas had barely managed to take a dozen paces towards him, and with every passing moment the sinkhole between them grew larger, and more filth hauled itself up from the depths. The king's tree had started to bow slightly as the hole reached its roots. The ancient oak's throaty song of pain and fear drove Nellas into an even more violent fury. So busy was she with hacking and slashing, swinging and slicing, that she didn't notice the press of rotting bodies easing around her. It was only when a clawed hand caught the downward stroke of a rusting sword meant for her upper branches that she realized she was no longer alone. With a contemptuous twist, Dugarth snapped the plaguebearer's blade and tore the leprous demon limb from limb. There was no time for a greeting, much less for explanations. Nellas pressed forward, screeching at the woodland around her to rise up and strike down the violators of the Heartglade. To her left and right, the spite revenants ripped into the Taliband, their features twisted with hideous fury, the same rage that now gave Nellas strength. For a moment, Scarthis's laughter faltered.
"Slow yourself, dear Nellas," the demonic herald said, weaving a complex pattern in the air before him. "That wound in your side looks like it may be infected."
Pain, worse than any she had ever felt, speared through the branch witch. Her limbs seized up and her scythe slipped from her fingers. In a daze, she fell to her knees, discolored blood sap oozing from her wound. Dugarth stood over her, driving back a trio of plaguebearers with a savage swipe of his talons.
"We won't reach the king's tree in time," the outcast called back to her. "We're too few."
Nellas couldn't reply. The taint Scarthis had planted in her side drove out all else, its agony threatening to eclipse her own spirit song and cut her off from the strength of the wildwood. A single melody remained connected with hers, entwining itself with her thoughts. It refused to let her go. Through the haze, she recognized its voice. It was a bitter grub. It had been born, hatching pure and unblemished from the nearby beech tree. It lived, and with it came hope, sure as the first buds among the snows. Nellas closed her eyes, seeking to focus through the pain. She could not save Broselan alone. She could not even save it with the strong branch fury of the likes of Dugarth and his outcasts. But Broselan could save itself. She only had to show it how. She began to sing. It was not the terrible battle cant of sharpened bark claws and crushing roots, nor did it possess the violent beat of the fury that motivated the Sylvaneth when they saw their sacred enclaves defiled. It was something deeper, something even more primal, a rhythm only the branch witches, with their instinctive connection to all the creatures of the wildwood, could access. It spoke of shared lives and shared fates, of the bonds forged in the changing of Gairan's natural cycles. It was directed not at the noble houses, nor the forest folk, or any of her forest spirits.
It was sung to the smaller creatures, dedicated to the multitude of tiny, vibrant souls that called Broselan home. They were all the Ever Queen's children, as worthy as the most gnarled tree lord ancient, and the death of the Wildwood spelt their doom as assuredly as it did that of the Sylvaneth. Nelas heard it first as a hum, a counterpoint to the infernal buzzing of the flies that choked the air around her. She continued to sing, her voice rising and becoming stronger as the hum grew. Pain flared once more as Scarthis sought to silence her. She ignored it now. Her spirit was no longer wholly bound to her body, but rose above the fighting to direct the Wildwood's salvation. Scarthis had stopped laughing altogether. From the trees, the spites came. They were a cloud, a nebulous, darting, roiling swarm that shrieked with a rage as potent as their branch witches. They struck the flies first. The great corruptor's emissaries, countless as they seemed, were squashed or snapped up or had their buzzing wings ripped off. The spites engulfed the whole of the evergreen in a multi-hued blizzard, poking out plague-bearers' eyes and bursting nurglings like little pus sacks. Nelas unleashed them on Scarthis Rot. The herald of Nurgle wailed first with rage and then fear as the cloud descended upon him. The spites picked the bark of the king's tree clean, plucking off and crushing each and every loathsome maggot that sought to defile the venerable oak. Then they set upon Scarthis, 10,000 little limbs raking and pulling at his flesh, gnawing at his eye, slicing and slashing with little claws.
"You cannot stop me now,"
the demon wailed, flailing ineffectually with his gaunt limbs.
"You are too late. A thrice-pox curse on each and every one of you. Grandfather, take your miserable little souls."
The demon screamed all the louder as a spite lanced his eye with a long sliver of living wood. He staggered forwards and lost his footing on the edge of the sinkhole, teetering for balance. With a concerted heave, the swarm of spites tipped him. The demon bellowed as he plummeted over the edge, knocking a clutch of plague-bearers back down into the pit, even as they sought to climb up out of it. As the demon fell, the evergreen resounded with a call of hunting horns. Nelas, still engulfed in the breaks and eddies of the spite's great spirit song, was only dimly aware of a furious roar. It was one the forest hadn't heard in a very long time, and it was enough to make the roots beneath her quiver. From the trees around the glade, the forest folk poured, twisted with their war aspect, and at the fore of their vengeful tide came Gilahad. The stooped tree lord ancient roared once more. The sound was echoed by the battle cries of tree revenants as they too emerged into the heart glade. Striding in their midst were Bitterbough and Thenuel, talons bared and branches firm. The Taliban broke before their thunderous blows, diseased forms flickering and turning insubstantial as they were banished back to their master's blighted realm. Nelas felt the grasp on her spirit song waver and break. Her voice faltered. Her mind returned to her body, dragged down by exhaustion and pain. Her wound, she realized, was killing her. Dugarth still stood over her, roots planted and immovable, his bark scored and slashed in dozens of places by demonic blades. She remained on her knees, bent and broken. She felt her consciousness slipping, the song of the Wildwood suddenly distant and muffled. She could feel something crawling among her branches and gnawing at her bark. Memories of diseased worms and maggots made her shudder. Her thoughts finally slipped away, and her song faded into nothingness. It was the singing of her new companion that woke her. Her bitter grub was coiled on her breast, watching her with beady eyes. She stretched out a limb to let the creature run along her branches, and was surprised to notice the absence of a shock of pain for the first time in what felt like many seasons. Tentatively, she shifted her body so she could look down at her side. Her wound was healing. The flow of blood sap had finally been stemmed, and tender greenwood had now replaced the rotten bark. She realized abruptly that the final sensation she'd felt before her spirit song had faded was the bitter grub eating away at the diseased bark, freeing her body from the great corruptor's foul grasp. It had saved her life, and with it, possibly the future of Broselan.
"Your new grub would not leave you,"
Dugath said, looming over her.
"It gnawed away the rotting wood and gave your wound a chance to re-knit."
Wordlessly, Nelas thanked the creature, letting it scuttle appreciatively up one limb and nestle among her boughs.
"I thought about cutting it in half," Dugath said coldly. "But I trust the spites more than I trust you, Harvester. May you serve them well."
"Branch witch,"
boomed the venerable tones of Gilead. The Tree Lord Ancient was striding across the evergreen towards Nelas, who rose to meet him with the assistance of her scythe. She looked around as she did so. The Heartglade was scattered with the dead wood of fallen Sylvaneth, and the swiftly decomposing filth of the Taliban, but of the sinkhole that had nearly consumed the King's Tree, there was no sign. Soul pods had been ripped up or brutally slashed, and life seeds lost forever. But the evergreen stood, and with it the future of the wildwood remained secure. For now.
"You are healing, I see,"
Gilead noted.
"Thoken has been beset with worry. We all have. We sensed your spirit travelling the realm route to Mirthorn."
"I beg forgiveness from the Conclave," Nelas said, voice firm. "But I would have done it again if need be. It was necessary for the good of all Broselan."
"And in doing so, you undoubtedly saved the entire Wildwood,"
Gilead replied.
"By the time we were aware of what was afoot, it was almost too late."
"I would have made little difference if it weren't for the outcasts," Nelas continued.
She turned to gesture towards Dugath, before realizing the Spite Revenant and his sinister kin had vanished.
"They do what they can, as do we all,"
Gilead said slowly, casting his wizened gaze across the tree line.
"There can be no bystanders in the war against the Blight. Noble houses and forest folk, spites and outcasts, we are all a part of the great war grove."
"I will tend to the soul pods until I have sisters again," Nelas said. "Once they have been fully instructed in their duties as branch witches, I will travel the realm routes to all the remaining wildwoods of the Jade Kingdoms. They must be warned not to make the same mistakes we made. They must be told to examine all things, especially where it concerns their heart glades. The rot that festers from within may yet prove more deadly than that which gnaws from without. Thark's passing must not have been in vain."
"True words, Nelas,"
Gilead agreed.
"I wish all the season's blessings upon such a task."
"Many thanks. Now, with the greatest respect, Venerable Lord, I must be about my duties."
"Yes, of course."
Nelas bowed again, hefted her scythe, and began the harvest afresh. She sang as she made her way slowly through the evergreen, a recital of both triumph and sorrow, the intertwining roots that ran through everything. It had always been so, the branch witch mused as she worked. And it would always be so, long after she and all she had ever planted had returned to the ground. The seasons changed, but Gairan endured. That was Heartwood by Robbie McNiven, read by John Banks.